we're going to enter into our time of listening to God's word a little differently than we normally do. I'm going to lead us today in a time of guided prayer. Now, for many of you who have been walking with Jesus for some time, this will be natural for you and comfortable. If you're new to our church, if you're new to faith, if you're on a journey of faith still and you're not sure where you are, I just invite you to try this on for size. Just take everything you know so far about God and bring it into this moment and just give it a try and see what happens in your heart. So I want you to start by quieting yourself. Breathe in, breathe out. Pay attention to the condition of your heart. Take a minute. Now I want to ask you to take your hands and open your palms facing upward and hold them out in front of you. And I'm going to begin to ask you some questions. And as I ask these questions, I want you to just, whatever comes to your mind, whatever comes to your heart, I want you to take these things and imagine laying them in the palms of your hands. What are one or two things that you've carried in here this morning that you are worrying about? What are you worrying about? Take one or two of those things and just imagine placing them in your hands. And I want you to feel the weight. What are the things this morning at the top of your to-do list? The stuff you didn't get done yesterday, Friday, this morning, that you're already thinking about. You're already preparing for. They've got a place in your head this morning. Take those things. Just set them in the palm of your hands. Feel the weight. Is there anything in your life this morning that has you in bondage? Enslaved. Maybe it's a sin, a vice, a temptation. Maybe it's a negative emotion that has control of you. You want to be free. Anger, fear, resentment, shame. What has you in chains this morning? Maybe it's a relationship, a situation at work, in your family. Do you feel trapped? I want you to take that thing and lay it in the palm of your hands. Feel the weight. Now, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to breathe in deep. And as you breathe out, I want you to turn your hands over and let go. Do it now. Breathe in. Turn your hands over. Breathe out and let go. Give it to the Lord. If you have to go back through each one and give it to the Lord, do it. Breathe in, breathe out, let it go. Trust it to your Father. He's good. He's sovereign. He loves you. If you continue to feel the burden, give it away again in this moment. Are you struggling with faith? Are you struggling to trust God? Ask God in this moment for greater faith. Like the man who came to Jesus and said, I believe, help my unbelief. Pray for greater faith and let go and give those things to God. And now with your hands open facing down, I just want you to think of all the things you're thankful for this morning. The ways that God has blessed you. Maybe it's salvation, maybe it's a friendship. Just thank God for what he's done in your life. Worship him in the quiet of your heart in this moment. Father, along with the Apostle James, we want to declare today that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. You are good, and we thank you, Lord, and we love you. Amen. Amen. How was that? You feel good? You like that? Does that feel good? Whew. Isn't that nice? What do you think we just did? Huh? You feel lighter? You feel lighter? What was that? What did we just do? Anybody want to guess? Somebody said it. Sabbath. Sabbath. Little Sabbath. A mini Sabbath. Sabbath writ small. You know what the word Sabbath means? It means to stop. It means to cease. Slow down. Hit the pause. Great way to think about the Sabbath. Turning your hands over, breathing out, letting go. Stop the striving. Stop the controlling. Give up the agendas. Give up the to-do list. Give up the things you're worried about. Let them go. Give them to God in faith and thank him. Rest. It's the Sabbath. So today we come to commandment 4, which is the commandment of the 10, where God commands his people to do what we just did for an entire day once a week. Did you know that? It's in the book of Exodus, chapter 20. And if you have your Bible, I want you to open and turn there. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. There's ushers in the back. They want to bring you a Bible. Just slide your hand up because I want you to have the written word in front of you this morning. If you're a guest or a visitor, you've figured out that we're in a series where we're working through the Ten Commandments. And today we come to commandment 4, the commandment about the Sabbath. But our approach has been a little bit different. So if you picked up the Ten Commandments and you read them with no context, if you did not know the God who gave them, you knew nothing about him, if you didn't know the story in which the Ten Commandments were given, and you read through the list, you would be inclined to think that the Ten Commandments are a Christian checklist of do's and don'ts. Like an inventory that a person would use to determine whether or not they're good or bad. Going to heaven or not going to heaven, or something like that. And one of the things that we're trying to push through in this series is that that is not at all what the Ten Commandments are. When we read the Ten Commandments, what we have been finding after with each one that we come to is that we're being drawn into the very heart of God. Each commandment is a window into the heart of a God who is powerful, loving, merciful, and he came and he redeemed a people of his own, And he said, you will be my people and I will be your God. And then he gave them a way to respond to him in a loving relationship. And that way was the 10 words, the 10 commandments. So our series is called Love Takes Shape. Jesus, love, and the 10 commandments. We're learning how to respond in love to a God who loved us first. And today we come to commandment number 4. Will you look with me, Exodus chapter 20. You'll remember that in verse 2 of Exodus 20, we get a prologue. So when you read verse 2, what you notice is that God is reminding his people who he is. And he says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Then we come to verse 3 and we get commandment number 1. You shall have no other gods before me. Then we read verse 4 and we get commandment number 2. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to serve them. Then we come to verse 7 and we get commandment number 3, which we looked at last week and the week before. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. We took 2 weeks on that. Week 1, we learned what does it mean to take the name of the Lord in vain. And then last week, we did the opposite and we asked the question, okay, now we know what not to do. What does it look like to take up the name of the Lord and to carry that name in a way that honors him? And we talked about the name of Jesus. Remember, God gave us another name we could call out to, and we learned that a person who wants to take up the name of the Lord and honor him takes up the name of Jesus in humble faith. They take up the name of Jesus when they pray, and they take up the name of Jesus as they go into the world as his representative. And now we come to commandment 4, and I think you're going to be refreshed. Will you read with me verse 8? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. You work for 6 days. But when you come to the seventh day, God says, my people, when they come to the seventh day, they stop. They cease. They let go. They turn their hands over and they come before me and they stop their striving. They stop their laboring. And we need to realize that for the people of Israel, the seventh day was Saturday. And the people of God marked their days from sundown to sundown. So the Sabbath for the people of God started on Friday evening at sundown, and it went until Saturday evening at sundown. They would prepare on Friday, and when the sun set on Friday evening, they stopped. No more cooking, no more cleaning, no more fixing, no more traveling, and they Sabbathed. They breathed out. They let go. They rested. It's beautiful. Sabbath is a gift. Did you feel the gift in our time? Did you feel it? I think that commandment number 4 of all of the commandments is the most spiritually rich. There's so much to get from this. And what's unfortunate is that in the history of the New Covenant Church, no commandment has created more controversy than the Sabbath commandment. No commandment. No commandment has been the cause of more arguing in the church about how we're to interpret it, how we're to obey it, what does it mean, what does it look like for us today. It's just been nonstop controversy since the day Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father. One of the worst scenes in one of the best movies happens in the movie Chariots of Fire. Do you know that movie? It's all the people 35 and older are nodding yes. They know all the young people are like, dude, what are you talking about? Chariots of Fire, an amazing movie. I remember when my dad, when I was a little kid, came into my room and he said, Adam, I'm taking you to a movie, Chariots of Fire. And I thought, what? That sounds so lame. Chariots of Fire. And I went, and it was amazing. You know the story. Eric Little, an Olympic runner, a man gifted by God. He's just the natural runner. And you know, he starts to pick up steam, you know, and the music starts to play the incredible 80s synth pop, like. And his head flies back, and his hair blows. You can knock him over, but he's going to catch up and beat you because this guy is so gifted. And the movie is all about how Eric Little is passionately in love with Jesus. It's an amazing movie. And the whole story is about how, as he enters into the Olympic Games to compete for the country of England, he refuses to race on Sunday, which is fine. But there's a scene in the movie that I hate. I loathe it. I loathed it when I was a kid, and I loathe it today. Eric Little walks out of church on Sunday with his sister. He's holding her hand, and they come walking, and they're smiling, and they're walking through some charming Scottish town, and all the people from the parish are walking with them, and as they walk, and they're happy, a soccer ball, a football, okay, in Scotland, a football comes rolling in front of their path, and some young boys come running up, and the ball rolls right up to Eric Little's feet, and he scowls, and he picks up the ball. And the boys come walking up, and they're shivering. And Eric Little looks down at them, and his countenance has changed. And he says, boys, do you know what day it is? And the boys say, yes. And Eric Little says, do you want to tell me what day it is? Sunday. And Eric Little says, do we play football on Sunday, boys? And the boys say, no, sir. And he hands the ball back, and their shoulders drop, and they walk away. And I hate that scene. It's horrible. Is that what the Sabbath has become? Is that what this is all about? We're so excited about Jesus that we scold little children when they kick a soccer ball around. Welcome to Christianity. Is that what it's about? Man, I hope not, because when I read Commandment 4, my heart is filled with life. Life isn't taken away from me. It's given to me, which, by the way, is a great way to summarize Christianity. And yet, we have questions about the Sabbath, and we've had them for a long time. I'm going to give you two of them, and I want you to think about these. They're big questions, very confusing. The church has been arguing, studying the scriptures. What do we do with this thing? Here's one question. Is the Sabbath mandated for New Testament Christians as it was for the nation of Israel? Do we have the same mandate with all of the same rules, all of the same restrictions, all of the same timelines as the people of Israel did? Because you know what? To be honest with you, the Bible gets pretty confusing once you crack the New Testament. You got people in the New Testament saying things that almost sound like the Sabbath has been abolished. Jesus, when he would have conflict with the Pharisees, almost all of his conflict revolved around the fact that he was breaking the Sabbath, according to their interpretation, and he was doing it gladly. And then they would confront him about it. And so you wonder, what's going on with the Sabbath thing? And actually, when you read the New Testament, there's very little indication that we're supposed to continue to practice Sabbath. So we have to figure this out. Here's another question that a Christian should be asking. Has Sunday replaced the Sabbath? The Lord's Day, Sunday. We know that very early on, after the death and resurrection of Jesus, the Christian church, the early Christians, started to worship on what they called the Lord's Day, which was the first day of the week in a Jewish calendar. Sunday, the day of the resurrection of Jesus, the Christians would gather and they would worship. You have John on the island of Patmos saying, I was caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. He's talking about Sunday. And the question is, did the church begin to practice Sabbath on Sunday? And it's hard to tell. The Bible is pretty unclear about it. So these are questions we have to answer, and we're going to answer them, and we're going to do it next week. Okay? We're going to buy ourselves some time. We're going to do it next Sunday. No, in all seriousness, here's what I want to say to you, because I, as your pastor, I love you. Here's my biggest problem with all that confusion, all that controversy. You know what's happened in that? I think what's happened is that as Christians, we have stopped benefiting from the spiritual wisdom of the idea of Sabbath. We've stopped benefiting. You know, when I think about the Sabbath, I think about a treasure chest. And when you open it up, you get access to all of these incredible truths, absolute truths about who God is, about our world, about my identity as a human being, hidden like a treasure underneath this idea of Sabbath. It's in there. It's rich. When you Sabbath, you don't just benefit from rest. You tap into a well of truth about God, about the world, and about your own heart. Because when you Sabbath, you actually slow down and you become attentive. You become aware of what's really going on here. Who am I? Who is God? And what I want to do today, and this is going to be more of a meditation than a sermon. I want to prepare us to continue to worship. What I want to do is share three truths that I think become strikingly clear to a human heart when that person Sabbaths. When you stop, when you cease, I think you become immediately aware of three things. Here's truth number one. I am not God. I am not God. When you stop, when you Sabbath, when you rest, that will become the first thing that you become strikingly aware of. I am not God. In fact, it will be because you have decided to stop, to let go, that you'll realize the first thing I have to give up is I am not God. Now you're thinking, I don't think I'm God. I don't think I'm the creator God. That's not what I'm talking about. When I talk about God, what I'm saying is that functional way of living in which a person operates as if they are in absolute control of their domain. Control freaks. You know who you are. You're looking sheepish right now. Control freaks. You want to be in control. You are in control. You call the shots. When you Sabbath, you let go. When you Sabbath, you're forced to come to a place where you realize I'm not in control. I can't be in control. I need to not be in control. I'm not God. Did you notice the fourth commandment is the only commandment of the ten in which we're given a rationale for why we should obey it? Did you notice that? It's in verse 11. Will you look in your Bible? And before I tell you what I see there, will you take a minute and look? We're actually given a logical argument for why we should Sabbath. And the reason is this, verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Now that verse, every single word of that verse is taken from the creation account. So what I want to do is I want to ask you, put your finger in Exodus. Now we need to turn back to Genesis chapter 1. We need to go and we need to see what's happening here. Why are we commanded to rest? And why is it grounded in the creation account? Genesis 1 should be a part of the Bible that every Christian becomes very familiar with. It's the beginning. It's where it all started. You read in Genesis 1, chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, there was nothing except for God, the only necessary being, self-sufficient. He created ex nihilo, out of nothing, because of his power, his splendor, his creativity. God spoke, and in a flash, he created mountains, streams, trees, creatures, animals, men, women, and he did it in 6 days. Not bad for an average work week, right? Did you do that this week? 6 days, he created all of this. And then we come to verse 31, and what do we see? It says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished. Chapter 2, verse 2, verse 1. And all the host of them, and on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. God set into motion a rhythm, a pattern. 6 days on, 1 day off. Work and rest functioning in a really important interdependent relationship that every human being recognizes if you stop and think, I need rest. I know what happens in my life when I violate this principle of work, enough of work, and then rest. What happens in my life when I violate that principle? And what Moses is saying is that a Christian, a follower of God, is a person who Sabbaths as a way of imitating the God who created them because they recognize I'm not God. And they remember, they're reminded to look back at the creation account and realize there is a creator. He's powerful. He has a bottomless well of ability to generate and create and do amazing things. And most importantly, I am a part of that creation. I'm a creature. I'm not God. I can't even be God of my own shopping cart, let alone anything else in my life, right? But there's more. See, there's something else going on here. It's deeper. And to be honest with you, I thought about this all night long, which is kind of ironic because I'm totally exhausted on a day when I'm talking about Sabbath, you know? I wrestled and I labored, and God kept saying, Adam, you're talking about rest, dude. What is wrong with you? But here's the word that stumbled me. It's in Genesis 2, verse 3. It's the word blessed. See, God didn't just rest on the seventh day. He blessed the seventh day. And what's interesting in the Genesis account, blessing is actually really important. It only shows up 3 times. God blesses 3 times. He creates animals and he blesses them. He creates man and woman and he blesses them. And then he creates the Sabbath day and he blesses it. It's interesting, the first 2 blessings, the blessing is the spiritual energy of God to be fruitful, to procreate. It's the blessing of life, the ability to have abundance. God creates animals and he says, you'll see it in chapter 1, verse 22, he says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. And then in chapter 1, verse 28, God creates husband and wife. And what does he say to them? Married people, you know this. What does he say? Be fruitful and multiply. And you are so good at that at River West, because I've been downstairs in the children's ministry. We got that verse down. Move on already, all right? He creates husband and wife. Be fruitful and multiply. And then God sets aside day 7 and he blesses it. And you go, what? What's the blessing of the Sabbath? a day. I think that there was a life-giving power that the seventh day had for the people of God. An abundance, a blessing, the power, the generosity, spiritual from God that they received when they stopped, when they ceased, when they let go. Because think about it. It's a huge moment of faith to stop. Think of the faith required to say, okay, I trust you, God. I let go. And then God says, I'm going to bless you. Think how blessed the people of God were. It's spiritual. Did you feel it this morning as you prayed? Did you feel the blessing of God? It's more than just, oh, it feels good to breathe in and breathe out. There's something that happens in your heart, the rejuvenating power when you trust God to let go. Have you ever heard the phrase, God helps those who help themselves? That's not in the Bible, okay? And it's actually totally wrong. It's dead wrong. In fact, it's just the opposite. You know who God helps? God helps the people who admit, I can't help myself. I need you. I'm not God. I need God. And they let go. Is that hard for you to do? Are you a control freak? Do you not like the feeling of being out of control? Is it hard for you to let go of control in your life? Sabbath. Here's number two. So we got number one, I am not God, but there's more. This one's going to be fast but important, okay? I am not a machine. I'm not God, and I'm not a machine. You and I were made for more than just production. We were made for pleasure. We were made to enjoy. We weren't just made to produce stuff. We weren't just made to do. We were made to be. We were made to enjoy. Why did God rest? Did he rest because he was tired? I don't think so. I don't think so. I want to show you why God rested. Look back at Genesis 1, 31. When God finishes creation, what does he do? God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. He gloated. God gloated. How cool is that? He bragged. He stood back and he was like, I'm the bomb. I mean, this is amazing. Like, look at this. It's incredible. And God can do that. And no one accuses him of being arrogant, right? He created the most amazing thing ever. And then he stopped. He finished. And he just sat back and he enjoyed it. Think about that. It's so cool. God was like, wow, I'm amazing. I am amazing. This is awesome. And he just enjoyed it. He didn't rest. He didn't stop. He didn't Sabbath because he was worn out. He Sabbathed because he was finished. And he realized, this is perfect. It's really good. And now you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to enjoy it. And you know what we need to be doing as people created in the image of God? Enjoying. That's Sabbath. Sabbath is a moment where you stop and you just go, God, I want to enjoy you. God, I want to enjoy what your creation. I want to enjoy what you've allowed me to do with my own hands, the skills you've given me. Just stop and enjoy. When's the last time that you took an entire day and you intentionally didn't accomplish anything? And you didn't feel guilty about it either, all right? Huh? When's the last time you just a whole day, you didn't accomplish a thing? You just lied around, you sipped lemonade, you laid in a hammock, you went out to lunch with your wife or your husband or your daughter, and you just enjoyed. When's the last time you did that and you didn't feel guilty? Now look, I'm the worst offender. I am constantly going. I'm always doing it, loading a dish or cleaning the cat litter box. Why does a cat litter box have to be cleaned so often, you know? And I'm always doing something, and my wife is like, dude, just stop. Just sit down. And you know what happens when I sit down? I fall asleep almost immediately, you know? How bad is that when you sit down and you actually stop, you immediately fall asleep? That's not a good sign. Aren't we like that? We're just constantly going. We always feel obligated to do, to accomplish, 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 and it's frenetic. Now think about this. Can you think of anything in our culture that robs Christians more of the joy of God than the frenetic pace of our culture? And why? What are we going to have in our hands when we get to the end? And it's just pressure, pressure, go, go, go. And you feel guilty if you sit in a hammock and you just enjoy. I want you to do that. I want you to practice that. Try it. You're not a machine. You can't do constantly. Sometimes you just, God wants you to be. That's the way he created you. Here's number three. I think it's actually probably the most important one. I'm not God. I'm not a machine. And number three, I'm not a slave. I'm not a slave. When you stop, or you try to stop, you're going to become painfully aware of whether or not you're enslaved to something. Do you remember when Moses first came down the mountain with the Ten Commandments? What happened? Moses was up on the mountain for some time. God was revealing to him. God gave him the 10 words and the rest of the law. Moses, he's been up there a while. What did the people do? They get really impatient. They come to Aaron. They say, this Moses guy, you know, where is he? And they say, make us something to worship here, something to lead us. And they start gathering up gold from the community. They throw it in a pot, they melt it, and they create a golden calf, and they worship the calf. And Moses gets to the bottom of the mountain with the Ten Commandments in his hands, and he's so angry. What does he do? Do you remember? What does he do? He throws them on the ground and they shatter. Talk about doing something in rage that you regret later, right? Oh my gosh, I'm the guy who broke the Ten Commandments. Yeah, that was me. He's so mad, he hucks the stones down. They've been written by the hand of God. And he throws them against the side of the mountain and they shatter. And then God gives the people the law. Again, did you know this? The Ten Commandments is written twice in the Old Testament. It's in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is two Greek words. The word deutero is second, and the word nomos is the word law. It's the second giving of the law. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, we have a second round of the Ten Commandments, which I want you to turn to right now, because there's something hiding in there that we need. Deuteronomy 5. Go five pages back. It's the last book of the Pentateuch, of the Torah. We're going to read Commandment 4, and there's going to be a lot of similarities, but what I want you to look for is what's the difference. What's the difference between the Deuteronomy version of the Ten Commandments and the Exodus version? Let's read. And we're going to look at verse 12, Deuteronomy 5. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. Pay attention, verse 15, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. And the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. Isn't that interesting? The command is grounded in a different truth in Deuteronomy. In Exodus, the command was grounded in creation. And when we get to Deuteronomy, the command is grounded in the redemption of God of his people out of slavery. They were slaves. Do you know that when the people of God received the Ten Commandments for the first time, they were so recently out of slavery that they probably still had tan lines where the armor was. These people had no concept of what it meant to not work 7 days a week from sunup to sundown. And now they have a new master who commands them on the seventh day, stop working. Do you know what that would have been like for a slave? Someone with a slave mentality. God, loving, gracious, kind, saving his people and then saying, you're not a slave anymore. In fact, I don't want you to work on the seventh day. And I don't want your kids to work. And I don't want your slaves to work. If a person overworks, they are a slave to something. Now you might say, I'm not a slave, I'm totally free. If a person is a workaholic, they are a slave to something. If a person can never stop, they can't rest, they can't slow down, they can't cease, they can't let go, they're constantly go, 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 there's bondage. Something is in control of their life. Maybe it's a boss. Maybe it's an expectation of another person. Maybe it's materialism. Maybe it's the next door neighbor's car, boat, house, golden retriever. I don't know. Maybe it's insecurity that they're driven by, enslaved to. But I can assure you this, if you can't rest, you're a slave. But see, God is coming and saying, no, wait a minute, you're not a slave. And I command you to stop because I love you. Stop. Cease. Let go. This week, I'm going to ask you to practice Sabbath. I want you to do something. I want you to look ahead. And I want you to set aside time. I'm not going to, you don't have to take a whole day. You don't have to do that. That's not what this is about. What I want you to do is I want you to do something realistic in your life to capture some time where you just stop. And you just, I want you to do that. And we're going to come back next week and we're going to do more. But I have to tell you something to prepare you for next week. The Lord showed me this morning when I was praying, when I was laboring over the Sabbath. God showed me something. Here's what I want to share with you. The spiritual meaning of Sabbath is that true rest can only be found in God. You're only going to find rest for your soul in God. That's the meaning of Sabbath. Now, in the Old Testament, God rescued his people out of slavery. He led them through the desert. He gave them his word. He gave them his law. And then he gave them a land, the promised land. And it was called the land of rest. And he led them into the land of rest. And he invited them, come and rest here. worship me, fellowship with me in my temple, enjoy this place. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm inviting you here to rest. And the people refused to enter the rest. Does that phrase sound familiar? Shows up in the Psalms, shows up in the book of Hebrews. We're going there next week. They refused to enter the rest of God. They rejected the rest that God was providing. And so Sabbath became a signpost pointing forward in redemptive history to our need for another rest, a perfect rest, a rest that we could never create, a rest that God would have to give. And we need to understand this rest. Here's what I realized this morning. When God finished his work in creation and he rested, as I was looking at that phrase, he finished his work and he rested, God said to me, you know what, Adam? That's not the only time in the Bible that I finished and rested. I finished another time something really important and I rested. It's in the book of John. I'm going to read it to you. Will you look? It was the work of Jesus on a cross. He hung and he labored and he suffered and he bled and sin soaked into his being. John 19, verse 28, after this, after all of this, the work, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, and so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch, and they held it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. Does that sound familiar? Genesis 1, 31. I'm finished. And then what did he do? He gave up. He let go. And he rested. This is the same man who said in Matthew 11, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. How much we need that rest. That's where we're going next Sunday. We're going to spend the whole time talking about Jesus. It's going to be good. Will you come back? You need to hear this. You need rest for your souls. We're going to worship today. Eric's going to lead us. I'm going to ask you to pray. I'm going to ask you to think about your own life, your own heart. Do you know how to Sabbath? Do you know how to do that? Will you think about that today? Let the Lord speak to you. I'm going to pray for you now. Will you bow your heads? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the wisdom of your word. We thank you, God, that you know us so perfectly. You know how we work. You created us. You know everything about our bodies, about our need for downtime. But more than that, you know what we need spiritually, God, and you provide it. I want to pray this morning that as we worship, we would find that Sabbath is continuing here. We're feeling the gift, God, of slowing down. I want to pray for those who have come, who are visiting, checking out the church, that they would feel welcome. And I pray for them that they would, might maybe for the very first time, feel you touching their heart, calming them down, releasing a burden, pointing them to your son, Jesus. I ask for a work of love and grace today, God. Thank you. We honor you, Father. We need you. We recognize you're the creator. We're the created. And we give you all the glory. Amen.